Welcome to VG Club. My name is Dexter23Jack, aka Paul/Viv, and today I am joined by Chris, aka Korea9.
That's me.
Grace, aka what is it, Piranha Plant?
Yes, it's that.
Javi.
Hello. What am I, aka?
Javiously?
Javiously, yeah.
Yes, okay. And then, last but not least, BJ K394, aka Ben.
Hey.
All right. And yeah, this week we have congregated to discuss Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
True.
Just up front, I wasn't the biggest fan of this game. I think I only ended up putting maybe like 2-3 hours into it. But Grace actually completed it, and I don't know about the rest of you, but it sounds like she at least enjoyed it. So
mostly.
Dexter, why must your heart be so full of hate? Just kidding.
I didn't want it to be full of hate. It just happened. No. Yeah. It was one of these things where, like, on paper, I should like this game. I'm a fan of like turn-based strategy games, in particular like the grid-based stuff like Fire Emblem or Advanced Wars, and then I like Mario, so on paper I should like this game. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I just, the rabbits aesthetic, I mean, like, what was it, they originally appeared in Rayman Raving Rabbits. Yeah. As a mm-hmm. launch title on the Wii, so that would have been back in 2006, so it's been about 16 years since they were introduced, and mm-hmm. they somehow got a team up with Mario before Rayman ever did. Yeah, true. I just, it's like one of these things where I've never really understood their popularity. Like in the original game, I was fine with them because they were kind of like monsters, the antagonist. But then it's just like, I don't know. I feel like they're the, what is that commercial for candy? Sour Patch Kids. I feel like they're Sour Patch Kids personified in rabbit form.
I think a comparison that, like, they feel like they're just exactly the same thing is Minions. They remind me of Minions, even though they came before. But yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of the Rabbids in particular. And I don't think, I don't know, like, clearly they were popular enough that they've continued to make these games starring them, but I don't know anybody who likes them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, what is it? I've gone to a couple of arcades over the past couple months, and they always have, like, a Rabbids game there. It's like a light gun shooter where you use a gun.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and you can usually,
shoot,
like,
rabbits?
Select... Yeah, pretty much, and you can switch between like three different movie themes, like a western, a horror.
That sounds like they just made an arcade version of the Wii game, the Raving Rabbids game, because that was shooting plungers, and you had, I think, those same sets you were just talking about.
Yeah, but minus Rayman, so you play as another rabbit shooting other rabbits.
Okay. Man, do you remember how that game worked? It was like full motion video, like baked in video, and it would just like change the video that's playing based on whether you hit the target or not.
Wait, like the one on the Wii back in 2006?
Yeah, yeah, because the graphics weren't that good. But
I would have to recheck it out. It's been years since I played that game. What I remember was like holding the Wiimote up to my ear and basically navigating a minefield.
Wow.
It was a very, I don't want to say gimmicky, but it was definitely one of those launch titles that tried to use everything the Wii had to offer.
Yeah, I think gimmicky is fair. That's a fair word to use. But, well, here we are. They made it to the Switch.
Yeah.
Mario.
And they're getting a sequel. I think it's already out, right?
Out, yeah.
It's out, yeah.
But yeah, story-wise, it's a it's a Mario game, which I guess doesn't disqualify it from having a good story. I mean, you can look at like Thousand Year Door, the Mario and Luigi games. But yeah, the story is pretty light in this game. I guess some game developer in the real world developed this invention that like fuses two objects together. And she leaves it on her desk, and then the rabbits show up in a time-traveling washing machine, steal it, and then create havoc all over the Mushroom Kingdom.
It's kind of strange, right? Because in that universe of the inventor, Mario is kind of, I assume, like a video game character, right? They have posters and toys and stuff.
That's the reality where, you know, we never got a Mario video game. We just got a Mario originally with Chris Pratt as the voice actor.
Exactly.
I think it's sort of like a, like the Rabbids are crossing dimensions, right? Like they're time traveling and they're washing machine or whatever it is. But I think it's like, you know, Mario exists in like a video game dimension and they are crossing over into that.
Multiverse theory. Yay. No.
I mean, in this era, like the early Switch era, Nintendo was, I think they made a point of this as well. Like they publicly stated, like, we're going to start sharing our IP and seeing how we can capitalize on that. I think it was like fresh off of the Wii U tanking, and Nintendo's like, we have like all these franchises that make money just by being them, right? So why aren't we spreading them out? That included like creating toys. That's why you have like Super Mario Brothers action figures everywhere. You didn't have that before.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's only been the past couple of years that Lego kind of got, I don't want to say got the rights, but they agreed to work with Lego. So you get like Lego Mario stuff now, which is really nice.
It's not even just Mario. Like, if you recall, this was also Ubisoft. I think Nintendo went all in on working with Ubisoft in this way, but they had a Star Fox in, was it Starfield or something?
Starlink.
Yes. That Toys to Life game. Which it was cool to see Star Fox in there. they also like had all the Nintendo skins and Bayonetta. So they were just like putting all their characters wherever they could. But yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those games that, like, if you remember, like the PDF that was like describing the game got leaked before the game was even announced. And that's where everybody was dunking on it, because it said stuff like, Princess Peach looks super badass with her shotgun. You know, it's like very cringy and like not meant to be public facing at all. And so like people had it out for this game from the start before it even was like formally introduced to the world. But I remember that E3, like once they actually let people play it and showed off how it works, where it's basically XCOM, all of a sudden there was like a flip switch and everybody's like, this is kind of cool. This is kind of interesting. And then it came out and everybody seemed to like it quite a bit too. So
I think
it's kind of like
Miyamoto showed up at a Ubisoft like E3.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That was crazy. Crazy in and of itself, but
yeah. I don't know. It's wild times that Switch launch.
Yeah, it's weird. It's been 5 years already.
Yeah.
Worked out for them quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But story-wise, did anybody else have anything to add? I watched the ending for the game just before I hopped on, and I was just like, okay, yep, that's probably the ending I expect. Bowser gets possessed or whatever. And then you have to fight, like, Dragon Bowser, and then everything, all's well that ends well, and Rabbit Peach gets a statue for herself.
Nice.
As she should.
Yeah, that Bowser... That Bowser fucks. I just gotta say that. It's like the best version of Bowser probably in any Mario game. And he's like not even like there. Like he's not even himself.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a playable character in the sequel, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
But go ahead.
I don't know if I mean, like, the story is there. I don't think it's like I don't think people play Mario games for the story, right? Like, and you know, this is more like you either vibe with the gameplay or you don't. Like, the story is just there.
It's funny, I forget, like every time I'm playing this game, like it doesn't try to remind you about that whole intro with the washing machine and the programmer. Like, that is miles away from my, like, I'm not thinking about that at all when I'm playing this game. I completely forget about that until I like start a fresh run or something. So like in terms of story, like, I don't even know like what Chris said, it's just like, all right, I'm making it through this world. I'm progressing. I'm doing the next battle to the next battle to the next battle. And really it just feels like a series of, challenge, you know, fights, which, you know, I'm cool with it.
I was kind of hoping there would be more like platforming in between the XCOM fights, like even if it was just like platforming to get like collectibles, because as it stands, you can't jump.
Yeah, I would say that the worst part of this game is the stuff in between the fights. Like, just get moving around that world is incredibly boring. And the music is not bad. It is Grant Kirkhope, and he definitely went all out. You know, it's not every day you get to work on a Mario game. And this is the guy that he worked on Banjo-Kazooie and lots of other Rare stuff. But I did find it felt like walking through a Disney theme park, you know? Is it all just kind of like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's very uninteractive outside of, like, this is what you can play with, right? Like, it's like, this is really cool. Everything looks like what you would expect, but you can't actually interact with most of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that open world is pretty lame. I think that's probably the part that I eventually, by the back half of the game, I just sort of was running through it to get to the next battle, because there wasn't really much point hanging out in there that much.
Yeah, and I felt like, you know, they could have taken, like, even a page from, like, Paper Mario or Mario and Luigi, like, given you some, like, abilities to kind of, like, traverse areas, because you could probably do a lot of creative things with the rabbits. Like, use them as, like, combine a bunch of them together and use them as, like, a bridge or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a shame they didn't lean into that, just because... Like, there's so many puzzles and stuff on the overworld, and so many of them are just either, like, the same thing that you've already seen, or it's just, like, there's no logic behind a lot of the puzzles towards the end game. You just press buttons and wait for the right thing to happen.
Also, those rabbit pipes are nightmare-inducing. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to say, like, that they lean into, like, the, you know, the co-op, you know, working with partners thing, like, where you're propping people up onto, like, you're doing some, like, weird platforming stuff in the combat sections where, you know, you can run up and, you know, Rabid Peach can boost Mario up onto a higher ledge. Like, they don't do any of that outside of it, though. It's...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and also, like, that, like, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Javi.
Oh, it's okay. Just, like, some of the characters have things they're better at, right? Luigi is a sniper, right? And he's able to, well, I guess there's a sniper part, but like Chris said, Mario can jump up higher and further than most characters. Who's I use? I think might have been Rabid Princess Peach, I think, that was able to, like, move further than other characters. So they had their own strengths and weaknesses, and I think that it would be really interesting if, like, the characters you pick, you have to, like, use them to get around the open world as well, like, use their skills in different ways. I mean, it's all right there. They just didn't do it.
Yeah, I don't know if Sparks of Hope fixes that. I'm going to let other people take the plunge on that one.
Here's the great thing about this game, and probably the sequel coming up, is that it's not Nintendo published. So it'll be on sale in 6 months, and you can afford it. You could take a chance on it for $20 as opposed to, you know, having to, you know, 5 years later, it's still $60. Yeah, this game goes on sale all the time.
Nice.
You don't have to wait for that 30% off, $41.99.
Right.
But yeah, just like, in terms of, like, we keep comparing it to XCOM. Who here played the remake of, like, XCOM and Enemy Unknown?
I've started it, so I've played a little bit.
Basically, like, the same.
Yeah, like XCOM and XCOM 2, the ones that came out back on the, did it come out on the 360 originally?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah, I had a PS3 copy, so there has to be a 360.
360, PS3, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's that style of strategic combat in this game.
It'd be fun if the characters, like, actually died if you lost them in combat. Carrying around, like, Mario in a casket for the rest of the game.
Well, did anybody, I really, really dislike, and this is such a little thing that shouldn't bother me as much as it does, but it does bother me, is when you're walking around the overworld, you're not playing as Mario, you're playing as this little Roomba that everybody's following.
Yeah.
Why?
That confused me a lot, too, because I think Mario, you can't remove Mario from the party. He's always, like,
yeah,
the leader. So I always confused myself. I always thought I was playing as Mario, but you're not. You're playing as the Roomba that's leading the party. It was so confusing.
Yeah. And I don't know why they would do that. Like it's a little thing, but it makes you feel so detached. Like you're not playing as those characters. They're following your little cursor that you have no connection to, you know?
And I think it would be fine to have the Roomba, like, as, you know, your Navi or whatever, to kind of like, oh, this is what's happening. Let's, you know, give the weird story bits that they do here and there. But yeah, it's your sense that you're just like gliding around as the Roomba.
Yeah. And unfortunately, from what I've seen, the Roomba returns in the sequel.
No.
Yeah.
Well, the Roomba didn't get any closure. He never got back to his real world.
Oh, no.
Everyone's favorite character that they're emotionally attached to, the Roomba.
If it makes you feel any better, he kind of gets abused a little bit in the Donkey Kong DLC. So
nice.
Well, maybe I too was annoyed by the rabbits. So maybe I found a bit of commonality between us. No.
I mean, I was annoyed by
Go ahead.
I was annoyed by the same thing that Beepo was annoyed by with the Toad, like in Toadette. You had to deal with them like 3 times throughout the game. Like the third time you meet him, he's just like, oh, the bleep. Like there's just like a bunch of symbols on the screen. Not again.
Yeah, those escort like missions were definitely like my least favorite. Like I hated escorting Toad or whoever through a battlefield.
Yeah, I don't like them in general, but they especially were annoying in this game.
You don't like Toad and Toadette?
Well, no, I mean escort missions. Well, not the Toad and Toadette.
It's amazing that developers know that we hate them. So why do you keep putting them in these games?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm actually kind of curious what the first escort mission in games was, just how that gameplay mechanic has evolved over the years.
Good question.
Yeah, because I feel like it's something that probably started 3D, but I could be completely wrong.
I mean, the first one I recall is GoldenEye, when you're trying to get out of the facility with Natalia, trying to keep her alive. I think that's the first one I remember.
I remember the ones in Jack 2 and Jack 3. Those were fun. Protecting your younger self, making sure he doesn't get killed. But trying to think what else. Yeah, so difficulty-wise, that was something we talked about before getting into the before picking the game itself. How did you guys find the difficulty this time around?
The same. It starts off as like Baby's first strategy game, and then there's a switch that's turned, and all of a sudden it gets a whole lot more difficult if you're not upgrading consistently, and which is weird for a game that like looks like a Mario game is targeting that crowd. It seems maybe a little bit difficult on the surface after you get through like the tutorial area. I don't think it's super difficult overall, but if this is your first strategy game, it after you get past the easy part, it kind of throws you to the wolves.
Yeah, there is a huge spike, and like towards the end of the game, I just started where you press Y or whatever to get a extra health boost before the start of a battle. I just started doing that like by default, even if I didn't need it.
Yeah, the back half of the game is definitely, I don't know if it's like balanced weirdly, but it's definitely way harder. You know, there's a noticeable point where the game just gets much more difficult than it was before.
Yeah, and I feel like I would have enjoyed the back half of that game more. I was just like the first 2 or 3 hours, I was pretty much in exactly what Chris was talking about, the Baby's first strategy game phase, and I was just so bored.
It takes a while for it to kind of establish all of everything you can do in the game. Like, the first couple worlds, which are pretty long. Like, there's what, like 8 or 9 to each world? 8 or 9 mm-hmm. like battles. It's like they're introducing a lot in those first two worlds, and it takes so long to introduce everything that it seems maybe a little bit easy, and then all of a sudden that switch flips in the back half, and it's like, I hope you remembered everything from the previous levels. So now you got to do it all at once.
But yeah, no. Did anybody else have any other thoughts on the game that I'm missing out on? Because I'm like I've said, I only played like two, three hours of it, so I feel like I didn't get to experience everything the game had to offer. But I just was I've kind of gotten to the point as an adult, as a gamer, where I'm just like, if I don't like a game, I don't like a game. I'm not going to torture myself too much about it these days.
Sure. I mean, full transparency, I started a fresh file. I got, I think, through the first world, which was pretty long. And I was like, let me look at my old save. Where was I on my old save? And my old save, I was basically, I just finished the final or the penultimate world, and I was entering the final world. And I'm like, well, let's start from here, right? And I did everything in the final world and got to Bowser, and he just wrecked me over and over again. But like, but then, you know, I went back to the hub, and in the hub, you can look at everything, like every battle, and you can see how you scored, how you fared in them, and you can jump into them and just give them another shot. Like, I thought, and so that's kind of honestly where I spent most of my time with it in preparation for this show, was like, I'm gonna jump into different battles and try to get, you know, the perfect rank out of it, and I found that extremely enjoyable. Like, basically that allowed me to cut out all the crap in between the battles where you're wandering around the world, just jumping in and purely trying to perfect like these strategy, you know, dioramas, like what's the most efficient way to do this? And also, like,
sounds really nice.
yeah, it was pretty cool. And there's also like certain challenges, and it, like, I was finding myself like specking out characters to accomplish that challenge in the best way. So like, there's more strategy going into the scenario. So like, I feel almost like, by doing it this way, I like found a new way to really enjoy this game that cuts out a lot of the stuff that is not that great. So, yeah, I don't know. I had a good time with it, but I totally get what Dax is saying about, you know, starting the game and it's really slow and it'll just wear you out. You'll just be like not really feeling it up front. Yeah, luckily I didn't have to deal with that.
Yeah, so I had originally played the game, like, not too terribly long after it came out, and I got stuck somewhere in the last world. I want to say it was either the fight with Bowser Jr. or very shortly after that, and I just never went back until we started playing it for VG Club, so I started over, of course, and I got past the point where I had gotten stuck last time. I was like, okay, I'm doing better, this is good, so I finished it. And I feel like I enjoyed it well enough, but we've already pretty much covered everything that kind of really stuck out to me, like the terrible overworld and the rabbits being themselves and the fact that the characters are just kind of like, they're secondary to like Beepo, whatever, the Roomba thing. They just sort of exist behind him. So yeah, I mean, we've covered like, I don't really know what else to say about the game other than I'm glad I finished it. I do want to try the sequel because it sounds like they changed a lot, but I'm in no hurry at the same time.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that boat too. Like, you know, when the sequel was announced, I'm like, oh, well, that took forever. Like, they should have done this like a lot sooner. But I like the first one. And I'm curious to check this one out. But like, you know, we just played through the first one. And now I'm like, I don't know if I need to get the sequel right now. Like, I'm going to take my time.
I can wait until it's like half off at least.
Yeah, I'm a little burned out on Mario and Rabbids right now.
Yeah,
like my biggest thing other than like any improvements they made to the sequel is like, I'm glad Bowser's a playable character. That's great. But yeah, it's not enough to make me buy it right away.
I mean, I would take this game sans rabbids, just like a Mario tactical strategy game with no rabbids. Like, that sounds better.
Yeah, kind of going back to how we opened, like, I don't hate the rabbids. I don't say I like them either, but they don't bother me as much as most people.
Yeah, sure. No, I think I like your point, Javi. It's kind of like a salad. Like, the salad is good, but, you know, like, it depends on what type of dressing you got, and the rabbit dressing was just absolutely rancid for me.
I think I'm more on, you know, with Grace. I don't have anything against them. I kind of adore Rabid Peach, so...
Oh, and I'm not saying, like, you have to have anything against them. I'm just saying that's just how I process the game.
Well, I mean, it's like some people just aren't going to, they're not going to get with, you know, the rabbit's humor and what they, you know, like, they just find them annoying. Like, people find minions annoying. It's like, if it doesn't, you know, work for you, it doesn't work for you. It's, shit's not for everybody.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing. Like, with me, I like the Despicable Me movies. It's just, I like it when the minions are kind of like side characters, not the main course.
Mm-hmm.
But, No. And I think the last thing I wanted to add was, how did you guys, navigating the hub area, was that a little annoying to you? Because do you get like a fast travel option at some point?
Yeah,
I haven't found.
Well, actually, I guess fast travel might not be what I'm thinking of, but like you can get into the washing machine and jump to any scenario you want. But I guess if you're talking about like the exploration part where you jump into the, where you can like see what secrets you've missed or whatever, I don't really know. I think you can jump.
Okay, it was just like one of those things where it's just like having to go there in between like every 2 to 3 missions and having to go to the weapon parlor and going to the other services.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's just like, what is it? I'm playing World of Final Fantasy right now, and in the hub area, like I just have to press a button and I can go to like any location. And yeah, that's nice.
That does, like, you can't just be like, oh, I want to go to this section of the hub. Like,
no, oh, yeah.
You have to walk around it.
But any closing thoughts?
I liked it. I think like everybody else, though, it's like a little burned out on it. It is a long game. Like it's a chunky title. So unfortunately, yeah. We played it right before the sequel came out, which was, you know, normally that's not a bad play.
Sounded like a good idea.
It's like good. I'll wait a little bit. Sorry, sparks of hope.
Yeah, it was good. It's way too long. That was why I definitely liked
the game, but I think what made it longer is similar to a lot of other like turn-based games. It's just like turns can take or feel like they can take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, there was like a fast forward button, but it wasn't fast enough because I did use that fast forward a lot, but I still think turns just sort of took too long, especially boss fights. Like boss fights seem to take forever. Like a lot of bosses just had like really, really big health pools for some reason.
Yeah. It's interesting, like, because I feel like we're coming in so much more objectively, I guess. Or I don't know. I feel like this game, when it arrived, it had the benefit of like the Switch was brand new and really exciting. And then nothing like this had ever happened for Mario before. And it sounded like such a terrible idea that the fact that it kind of worked, like, helped it. Like, I'm looking at the reviews for this game, and it was getting, like, 9s, like, everywhere. 8s and 9s. Like, people loved this game. And then here we are, we're like, this is good. It's just really interesting, the difference. But, like, I also feel like it's good, but I'm not very excited about it. I don't think it's amazing. And I'm like not chomping at the bit to, you know, jump into the sequel. It's just wild, though.
Yeah, I feel the same way, because like when the sequel was announced, I saw, you know, people all over social media like, oh, the first game was so amazing. You know, I'm so glad they're continuing this. I'm like, okay, you know, it was fine, but... I guess it's different strokes, whatever, but it's just so weird seeing so many people who just absolutely adore this game, and yeah, we're all just like, yeah, it's cool, I guess.
Well, I think that, like, especially Napo has set this up before. I am Napoleon on Perfectly Sane Show, but you know, sometimes he prefers to like wait, and buy the game later because you're playing the best version of the game because it's been patched and all that stuff. but sometimes I feel like you do miss out on like the hype factor, and that can really enhance the experience and just being part of the conversation. And I think that might have been not that Rabbids is a bad game, but I think that might have enhanced the experience a lot of people had with it.
Oh yeah, like just, you know, exactly like Javi said, like people came into it, you know, 5 years ago, this was something completely out of left field that honestly, like Mario with these weird blasters, like that doesn't make sense, right? Like it's not like that's something crazy. They would never do that. And then it came out, it worked. Generally a pretty good strategy game, except it has like the, you know, the Mario aesthetic, and people are going to jump on that. Like that's something cool at the time. I think we're coming at it a little bit differently 5 years later. Yeah. And some of us have played it, but previously and maybe fell off of it. But yeah, it's like, we are definitely coming out after 5 years of more games coming. And it's like, this isn't as novel as it was then.
Totally. I mean, I think you just sparked something where I'm like, we haven't, on this podcast, we haven't really made a big deal out of how insane it is that Luigi has a sniper rifle and Peach has a shotgun and Mario has two pistols. Like, what? You know, Yoshi with a bazooka.
We've just accepted it at this point. Yeah. That's what this game is.
Yeah. Like, that's insane.
But it's funny that Nintendo would let them do that. Like, they let they let them give Mario a gun. Like, that is funny.
I think it helps that it's an energy gun, and I feel like you're not really killing the enemy. Well, no, I guess you are. Because you're kind of like erasing them, because when you take them out, they just like phase out of existence or something, right?
Yeah, they like go all pixel and disappear.
Nuts.
Yep.
Yeah. Luigi has a yo-yo for some reason.
And no mustache. That was so weird for me.
Yeah, I do like that they kind of made Peach the tank. Like, she can take hits for other characters, and she does. She has like probably the lowest movement range and like the lowest like super jump range, but she's got a big ass shotgun. I do like that they made her kind of like, you would think, oh, she's, you know, she's the frail princess or whatever. She needs, she should be like the sniper or whatever, like stay out of the front lines. But no, she's like up there, like in everybody's face, just blasting them.
Yeah, like, they made her the healer or something like that.
Yeah, like, it's like a weird, weird like tank hybrid healer, so it's kind of cool like that.
Yeah, as strange as it sounds, like these characters, you know, being like having these weapons, it makes you think about them different. I don't know, it like gives them a little bit more personality, something more to chew on. I like that Luigi has to keep his distance and he'll pick people off if they get shot into the air. I like that Mario can get, you know, boosted or sprung over into the fray and then hit him with a hammer up close, and then he's doing DPS, and Peach being the tank and the shotgun and all this. I did hate that you had to have a rabbit on your team. Like, you couldn't just do all Mario characters. But yeah, I mean, it's cool to see these characters kind of, like, taking on these weird roles that you never think of them as. And, I don't know, it's a fun experiment. I think I'll give the game that, like, it was something we'd never seen before, and it's really fun to like see these characters. How do they behave in this crazy world?
And before we move off of it, Grace, you said you played the Donkey Kong
stuff. I was gonna say I started it and I fell off of it because my biggest issue was that I played it after I beat the main campaign, so it was like going back to square one with, you know, weak ass weapons and enemies.
Oh, so it's like throws you back. I haven't played it. Just throws you back into the beginning of it.
Yeah, so like it unlocks after the first world, and you should play it then. You should not wait and play it until the end of the game, because like that's just like it
weird because it came out like way after the main game came out.
Yeah, well, story wise, it takes place like with somewhere within the main game, because like the characters are like coming back from beating, I think, the second boss, and then like Rabbit Peach and Rabbit Kong somehow both get like sucked into the washing machine and taken to the Donkey Kong dimension. I don't really know what else happens after that, but like story wise, it takes place somewhere within the main story. But
almost like it's like cut content or something that they added back in after the fact.
Almost. I mean, like there are whole new areas, new enemies. Obviously, yeah. Donkey Kong is different. So it's like, it's new, but it's starting it with like the lowest weapons, none of your upgrades that you had at that point. Like, even at that point in the game, you wouldn't have any of those upgrades. You're starting from square one. So that made it really hard to get into. And plus, I looked up how long it takes to beat, and it said 7 hours. I was like, no, I already spent too much time with this game.
The whole other game.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that's why I didn't finish
what
it.
What value?
You're like, I mean, it's cool. Like, Donkey Kong has his own, like, he throws a banana like a boomerang so it can hit multiple enemies. Rabbit Cranky. Yeah. He has like a shotgun, but he also has his alternate, can like debuff enemies or do various status effects. But then Rabbit Peach is still Rabbit Peach. And like, those are the only characters you have for the whole time, I think. So I can get a little old.
Got it. Maybe someday I will get to it. I have it with the gold version of the game.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I could see like starting a whole new game way later than I would know that time. Like, don't do this after finishing the main game. Then maybe it would be more fun. But.
Mm hmm.
Cool. Ben, did you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think I liked the game. I definitely liked it, but I don't think it's super amazing. I do like the trend of like Nintendo or other companies giving their like franchises to other companies to do things with. Like, I think that's cool. I just like seeing like other, you know, even like the, you know, what Square Enix did with Final Fantasy with that Stranger of Paradise game, which seems wild, like just the idea of you know, a company giving their like IP to another company to do something with is neat. I think that's neat.
Game is, it's wild.
I know I'm probably not it didn't do too well, and I'm sad about that, but I'm kind of waiting for like Black Friday to see if it's going to go on sale, because it does look very interesting. I do want to play it, if even just for like the I don't know, the butt rock, the just, you know, the character just shouting chaos.
You just want to kill chaos.
That's all the time.
You're yelling chaos like in Heavy Rain, the dad yells Jason. Chaos! But yeah, so I'm trying to remember. It was Chris's pick this month, or
nope,
Javi's?
Ben's pick. This was Javi's pick. Right.
Yeah, no, that's what, sorry, yeah, that's what, yeah, I was trying to say. I know Ben is coming up, but yeah, I meant like the Mario and Rabbids. So yeah, Ben, what did you have in store for us?
Yeah, so I have a list of things I'll type into the chat here. I know you guys did Psychonauts already, but here is another sort of 3D era platformer that I really like. And it's Jack and Daxter.
All right. Liking this.
I also have Sly Cooper up there, because that's another.
We're just going down.
What are you doing to me?
It's hard.
And now for some more modern stuff that I've been really liking is Tinykin is a game I really, really liked in the same vein as that stuff.
That game's great.
Really good.
I have Kena Bridge of Spirits.
Ooh.
That I've been playing. And of a personal favorite of mine is Child of Light. So that's my list of what we could be playing next.
Okay. Tinykin is on Game Pass, right?
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I guess it's just like I'm kind of hesitant to go with Tinykin, because I feel like a lot of us have already played it, and it's a pretty recent game.
Yeah, I haven't.
It's very, very good. I would recommend it, but I don't know if I would recommend it for like VG Club.
Yeah, I was just asking because like it's the only one on this list that I don't already like have from buying it.
These are all very good games.
Yeah,
I'll be my goose.
Oh crap! We got a three-way tie. We got to play all three.
Oh, I haven't picked my second one yet. Which I don't.
We do need Marcus to break the tie.
Hmm.
So he
well, I haven't voted yet. So.
Oh, there we go.
But I was gonna vote for Jack and Daxter and Kenya. So,
we need Marcus to pick between them.
Yeah, let's see if we can text him right now.
Is that Marcus? Marcus is cool luck, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, cool luck. Yeah. Yeah, no, he's with his in-laws right now, but he said he'd be paying attention to the Discord.
He voted for Tinykin, at least, or he put the eyes on it.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and for Kenna, so he voted.
Oh. Oh, okay. So I'm the tiebreaker.
Yeah. So you're the tiebreaker here.
Wait. There you go.
Okay.
Maybe up the water some more.
I can vote for Kenya twice, right?
Yeah, can I? I'll do that. I'll vote twice. The thing is that, like, I've platinumed both Jak and Daxter and Sly Cooper. I've played both of those games several times. So, like,
yeah.
I would probably want to finish Kena. I've started it.
Yeah, I've started Kena and didn't finish it. I honestly can't remember if I finished Sly Cooper. That's why I voted for it. It's been so long.
Are we damaging the integrity of the game by being able to vote twice on the same game?
I think so.
Okay, then fine. Fine. I will vote Jak and Daxter.
Which I think we're back to Kena is the Kena. I don't know how you pronounce it.
I want that to call it Kena, but I've heard it called Kena, so I resign. It's probably Kena.
Yeah, I think Kena is the correct way of saying it. I'm not sure though.
Okay, need to make sure Child of Light gets some love because that's a really good RPG, and it's more. It's on the shorter side too, which is always nice.
Yeah. I've purchased Child of Light on like four platforms, and I've started it just as many times, and I always just am not in the mood.
Damn.
Yeah.
And the only one here I haven't played is Kena, so.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I tried starting that up with my wife actually a month ago because I thought she would really like it because she likes platformers and it's kind of got this like Pixar animation studio quality to like the cutscenes, the graphics. She didn't take to it really well, but I like the combat and just like the I think all of us are going to enjoy it.
All right. Anybody know the length on that?
Let me look.
It's pretty short. I think it's 10 hours, maybe a little less than that.
10 hours. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah. So main story is about 10 hours. Completionist is about 18 hours. And if you do the side missions along with the main story, it's about 13.5 hours.
Probably looking somewhere, between 10 and 15 for most people.
Yeah.
All right. I think this might be the last one we get in this year. So,
yeah, I think I'm good with that. Usually, six weeks in between recording sessions are roughly around there. So, by the time we're ready to record again, it will be December.
Yeah, December, right?
Yeah, early mid December.
All right. Well, Bridge of Spirits. And the,
nice.
the K person who's, we're not sure how to pronounce.
Yes, you know, the pinnacle of K-pop, Kenya.
Kenya, Bridge of Spirits.
All right.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. And I hope whoever's listening to this has a wonderful day. And this is Dex signing off for Chris, Ben, Javi, Grace, and of course our absent brethren today. Cool luck. All bye. Right.
Bye.